go out and feel everything. If you hold me, I will let you into my dreams. For time is a river rolling into nowhere. We must live while we can, and we drink our cup of laughter. The finer things keep shining through.
Welcome everyone to another edition of Community In Depth, and we are thrilled to have on the phone with us today Ann Lindbergh. She is the Chemical Health Coordinator at District 197, and we are going to chat with her about some pretty important topics. How have you been, Ann?
Oh, very good. I like the cold, but maybe not too much cold.
No kidding. No kidding. Yes. So where does District 197 stand with COVID?
We will be going back to hybrid for the high school 10 through 12 next Monday. So looking forward to having our kids back in the building, and it's going to be hybrid, but at least getting them back in. And our K through 3 is also already back in, and they're working to get the upper grades in also.
So for you, Anne, as somebody that does help kids on a day-to-day basis, how challenging has this been for us to not be in school?
Well, as a drug counselor, I think the hardest part for me is not seeing kids face-to-face. We can have the Google Meets, we can have the phone conversations, but until you really sit down and establish a relationship with a student and they trust you enough to talk, you're not going to really understand what they're going through. COVID has really pushed the buttons on a lot of kids as far as some mental health concerns with depression and anxiety. And a lot of that has led to experimentation with chemicals, whether that be through the e-cigarettes or other chemicals that might be out there.
So as a chemical health coordinator, what are your day-to-day duties, let's say, in a typical school year?
A typical school year wouldn't be this year, but on a typical one, I usually help out a lot with just being around the building. I'm there to help with supervision in the morning and kids getting off the bus to greet them and stuff. And a lot of my morning stuff is getting the kids used to knowing who I am so I'm not the bad guy, as well as I'm someone that they can at least identify with. I do meet with every student that ever receives an underage ticket, whether that be for alcohol and or drug use in or out of the building. So that is something, especially if they're in the Minnesota State High School League, I'll meet with the students as far as that. I also run the Students Against Destructive Decision Group at the high school. And so I work with kids who they themselves have chosen not to use and choose to do some education for their peers on what is out there and what are some of the dangers, as well as what are some of the new names that are out there.
Well, let's get to that right away, please, because you mentioned that our mental health, not only as adults but for kids, is at an all-time high crisis-wise. What are some of the things that you're seeing?
Well, I think with students that I see a lot, you know, they're just developing their prefrontal cortex. And for some of them, they believe they're invincible. And so they do some things that are probably not the smartest, but they don't think anything will ever happen. And so they may get into using some e-cigarettes, whether it's, you know, taking a hit off of a friend's or actually buying one themselves. And just as their brain is starting to develop, if you add some of these substances that are shown in some of the e-cigarette flavors, they're really vulnerable to getting addicted to physically as well as emotionally the substances. And they get used to, say, for anxiety or something, they get used to going and smoking or vaping an e-cigarette that may have a very, very high level of nicotine in it. And so that started to be the problem. Probably in the 2017 to 2018 school year, we started to have a big-time issue with students having e-cigarettes on them. In 2019 has been the sharpest increase in youth vaping across all 8th to 11th grade. 8th graders had a 95% increase in use, as well as our 9th graders having a 75% increase. So we were starting to see kids who normally, if there is a normal, would not be trying different substances, going ahead and trying e-cigarettes because people thought they were healthier than actual smoking of a cigarette.
Well, let's talk about that, because that is, I don't know enough about e-cigarettes. So e-cigarettes and vaping are the same thing.
Correct.
Okay.
E-cigarette is the actual
physical
paraphernalia, or the thing that holds the nicotine in it. And normally kids are getting the nicotine in what's called a cart, or it's a vial of oil-looking fluid. And sometimes the different flavors are, I think one of the most popular one I heard about was unicorn puke. And that's like, that's described as blueberries with strawberries. You know, just the different things when you look at the different vape shops that sell these kind of oils, you really are starting to see some of the flavors that are not geared towards 21 to 28-year-olds. They're more geared towards the kids. And so, you know, when we were young, we smoked a cigarette, that horrible taste and that horrible smell was there. Whereas now kids trying e-cigarettes are tasting Tutti Frutti or, you know, bubble gum or some other flavor. It doesn't have a horrible taste to it. And so they start to like that taste and unfortunately become exposed to nicotine flavoring.
So vaping is the same as smoking?
Correct. It's the inhaling of the liquid out of the e-cigarette.
So let's also clarify, this is illegal, right?
It is. It is illegal in the state of Minnesota for anyone under 18 to have in their possession, as well as for any of the stores to sell either the e-cigarettes themselves or the oil themselves to any kid under the age of 18.
So where are kids getting this? Can you buy it through the internet?
You can buy it. That's a huge portion of where the kids are getting it from friends, family. Unfortunately, there's some places that they do purchase, some stores that don't check IDs and stuff. There also, the FDA had tried to limit the different flavorings because that's what kids were going to. So now they're trying to limit the amount of nicotine oils. All they did was then go to buying Mod Pods, which are just a pod of an actual one cigarette type of thing that looks like an e-cigarette that has enough e-juice in it for maybe 25 to 30 hits off of it. And then they can throw that away, which is actually also horrible for the, you know, for the waste management because of the fact that it contains chemicals and it gets involved in our system.
So, Anne, why is it that the misnomer is out there is that vaping is not as dangerous as smoking? Where did that come from?
Well, originally when e-cigarettes came up, it was because of the fact that they initially were designed for people who wanted to quit smoking. Initially it was, you know, to try these, and these would help. They would give you the sum of the nicotine, but they would help you to try to wean off the actual cigarette smoking that people were doing. And I've heard that it's worked for people. I've not really actually met anybody that has ever used it for that. But initially that is where the e-cigarette came out. The problem now is that they're out there and the FDA has not regulated them. And so people are making, you know, lots of money. And whenever money is involved, that's when things go big time high. You know, Juul was a very popular e-cigarette pen that was sold for many years. That has been sued, and, you know, places now are trying to take them off the market. But now we have open systems that are called, like, candy pens or Sourin, S-O-U-R-I-N, that are just individual little systems that kids can get a hold of. There's also the disposable ones, as I mentioned, and those are called puff bars. So those are out there in many different forms. You can get them on Groupon. You can get them over the internet, older brothers and sisters, things like that. If kids want to get a hold of something, they have a tendency to be able to do it.
So when you said that this has become an epidemic just the last couple of years, is it because e-cigarettes weren't around before then?
Well, they weren't as prevalent. They weren't initially when they came out. The marketing and everything for them didn't talk about what was actually in the oil.
Okay.
The oil is itself is what is a huge danger to a lot of kids, or to anyone actually using it, because it has extra fine particles and different organic compounds and toxins that are actually in there. There is also secondhand inhalation of vape oil that is out there. But, I mean, the Surgeon General declared that nicotine is as addictive as heroin and cocaine. And so we're thinking about kids now, you know, at the ages of 15 to 17, trying things like this. And they may just want to try them once in a while. And it starts to be where their body ends up having, you know, a physical addiction. I have talked to some kids who have had what's called overexposure or nicotine poisoning, where they get what's called Nick sick, where it's vomiting and a racing heartbeat and sweating. It's almost like they're overdosing on nicotine from what they're inhaling.
And what is this popcorn lung that I've heard about?
Well, popcorn lung is one of the things they found early on, that inhalation of the vape oil creates little pockets in the lung cavities, similar to when they did some investigating in how popcorn was actually made. And so it became popular to call it popcorn lung. E-cigarettes and many of the vape oil contain the same cancer-causing chemicals that are in cigarettes. It's formaldehyde and volatile organic compounds that are in there. So it also can lead, you know, to lung cancer and diseases. The scary part now with COVID is that so many people, because of their vaping, have damaged their breathing ability. And then COVID with, you know, the inability to breathe and stuff, those two go hand in hand. So someone who has been vaping for the last 3 to 5 years may be just as able to get COVID or to contract COVID if they're around someone as someone who smoked for 15 to 20 years.
And when you talk to kids, do they understand this relationship between vaping and nicotine? And
I think some of them have gotten to a point where they can understand they didn't mean to inhale a whole jar or a whole vial of what they were smoking. You know, for one pack of cigarettes, that used to be 20 or 20 cigarettes in a thing, that could be one vial of oil contains anywhere up to 80 of packs, you know, 80 individual cigarettes. And kids will say, well, I went through that whole vial on a weekend. Well, you know, take a look at how much that nicotine comes down to and what it really looks like overall. And so I've asked kids, have you noticed that you can't get up the stairs this quick because we have a three-story building, you know, lots of stairwells. Have you noticed during Fayette any difference in your breathing ability? And breathing is probably the number one thing that, you know, not like hard time breathing, but just difficulty in being out of breath. And they've shown that, you know, the vapes, now they penetrate deeply into the respiratory system, so it lowers your defenses against any bacterial or viral pathogens. So it harms a lot of your chest cavity.
And kids do not think that this is serious.
Well, it's like anything else. The warnings and the talk on what has happened with e-cigarettes, they don't think it'll happen to them. They feel they're invincible. I've had kids who have said, I can quit when I want to. And, you know, some can. And COVID, in some ways, has gotten those kids who physically weren't addicted away from it. So if they're at home alone, maybe they have quit because they don't have access to it. So that has helped in some ways. For other kids, they've turned to it because they're bored or they're trying to address some of their anxiety or depression and don't know really how else to positively deal with it. Sharing of e-cigarettes is like sharing a soda, you know, or pop or something. You both have your lips and that on the actual device.
So, Ann, what are people saying is the benefit? Why do people vape?
It's kind of like saying, why do people smoke? And I used to be a smoker back in the day. So I think a lot of it starts out with it's a stress reliever. It's something to do. Other friends are doing it, so it becomes something that, you know, you do with your friends. And then it becomes something you get used to doing and you do get a lightheadedness and kind of a rush feeling in your body when you, depending on how strong the nicotine is. So you do have some of those positive things that come with using of a chemical. The problem is then your body gets used to it and needs more of that same chemical, needs more nicotine or stronger nicotine.
So how have you helped kids get off of vaping?
One of the best ways is actually there's a program called My Life, My Quit, and that is free to anybody in Minnesota. It's www.mylifemyquit.com, and it's a free program that just helps students or anyone take a look at starting to cut down and cut back and then maybe starting to find some healthier ways to actually deal with stress or anxiety. Some people may need to be diagnosed, you know, with depression or mental health diagnosis or something like that to get in and have some talk therapy along with it.
And what is something that you would tell parents? What's some good advice?
I would say be involved, know what's going on. That's part of the reason we do a presentation on vaping at least every couple months, and the one I'll be doing will be on my website, so the recording is there, both in English and Spanish. It's know about some of these. Know, you know, what they look like. So many of these things, so many of the e-cigarettes now look like phones or look like little. There's one that actually looks like an inhaler, and it's an e-cigarette. There's just many different ways that they're hidden. And to find out what is going on, you know, to have some communication and learn about what are the different things that kids are doing. Because if it's not the nicotine in the, you know, in the e-cigarettes, now they're putting marijuana oil in there as well. And so they're getting into dabbing and carts that are highly concentrated, sometimes up to four times stronger than regular marijuana that's smoked in a joint. And that also is extremely dangerous to the adolescents and their brain development.
We could do a whole show on brain development, couldn't we?
Yeah, it's something that, you know, for myself, I've worked at Sibley now for 23 years, and I've really learned and been able to see, you know, and when you say that, but they're a good kid. Well, they're all good kids. It's just sometimes they make stupid choices. And the kids need to learn sometimes that their choices have consequences. And hopefully they're not fatal consequences, you know, that they can learn from it and learn a different way to reward those pathways in the brain other than addictive substances like marijuana and nicotine and all the other chemicals that are out there.
And would you be so kind as to give us your website so that we can access some of your information?
Sure. It is under ISD197.org, and then it is under the student wellness, and then chemical health site is under that.
Ann, really great to chat with you. Thank you for this good, good information. Our guest is Ann Lindberg. She's the Chemical Health Coordinator with District 197, and do visit them online to learn more about this topic and many others. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.